Bonjour, comment allez-vous? Welcome to the 120th. Wow, we just keep going and going like the...
Energizer Bunny?
I was thinking M&M's. Oh. One of those Star Trek sponsors.
It's Rayovac now, I think, right?
We melt in your mouth, not in your hands, I guess.
120th edition of the LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
Laughing Place podcast. July 3rd edition. Happy Independence Day, all you Americans out there. Happy Condolence Day, all you Brits out there. And happy 3rd of July, everybody else out there.
Wait,
Austria, we love you.
Yes? Hang on a second. Does M&M's, what is their slogan? It can't be...
Melt
enough,
am
I, not
still?
Still?
I
don't know if it's still. Now it's that witty red M&M, the witty yellow M&M.
Right. And
don't eat your own kind.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Okay. Just checking.
Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. Post a message in the Laughing Place section of the discussion boards. I forgot something terribly important, so let's back up a bit. Hello, everybody. My name is Doobie Mosley, your host, but today I am the first president of the LPP, George Washington. Joining me on my right, the Rough Rider himself, Teddy Roosevelt, a.k.a. Captain John.
Bully.
Bully. On my left, some would say the first female president, Eleanor Roosevelt.
Okay, I guess so.
Is that or be a guy?
No, that's fine.
She's one of the more prominent first.
Couldn't I have somebody
and
who
so
actually has
too.
A dress on display in the...
Nancy Reagan?
There you go. At least I have a dress on display. Thank you very much.
And across from me...
Well, you could have been Princess Diana. But
yeah, that's true, but that would be, you know...
Fanboy himself this week, Richard Nixon.
Richard Nixon was a fanboy? I had no idea.
I'm a fan of, like, checkers. And you know that he gave a very important speech at the Contemporary Resort.
Yes, he did.
That's why I made you Richard Nixon.
And yet we still haven't figured out exactly what ballroom. You know, that's a great mystery to people.
Really?
Yeah, they don't know where. They have a general idea as to that it was a contemporary ballroom. They just don't know which one.
And that should be the captain's challenge, because then nobody will ever know.
At least they didn't die in office.
You know something that bugs me?
No. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of
word facade.
Does everyone
very
know which
unique.
I'm bugging? Very unique. You got that right.
ATM machine.
PIN number. How can something be called the contemporary in 1971 and still be called the contemporary today?
Some things just never go out of date.
Some things were never contemporary to begin with.
See, we already gave you the contact information.
Yeah.
And now the most important part of our show. This edition of the Laughing Place podcast is brought to you lovingly by MouseEarVacations.com, who would like to remind you that everyone needs a vacation to wash away the stress. So let their Disney Cruise Line group space rates help make your vacation dream come true. They've secured great prices on 2009 sailings, saving you from $846 per cabin over current rates starting on October 3rd. So give them a ring at MouseEarVacations. What do you say on the web space? Give them a type. Give them a URL.
Give them a
look.
Give them a look at MouseEarVacations.com.
Give them a packet download.
Get a free quote. They are awesome. We've used them.
Give them some bandwidth.
We've used them, and they're awesome. They're awesome. So, MouseEarVacations.com.
Bandwidth, huh?
And also like to remind you to check out HojoAnaheim.com, which is the official website for Howard Johnson Anaheim. Strangely enough.
How much did they have to pay Hojo, Howard Johnson of Anaheim, for that right?
Our favorite place to stay in California, one reason being they are closer to the front gate than the Disneyland Hotel. A favorite of all Disney annual pass holders and regular Disneyland visitors. So it's kind of hard to hype them just because they're so ubiquitous. Everybody knows Hojo Anaheim is the place to stay if you're a Disney regular.
Oh, no, I think they need all the help they can get on all sorts of mediums, like the interweb and podcasts.
So HojoAnaheim.com, MouseEarVacations.com. Thank you both of you for supporting the LPP, because without them, I would have to pay for dinner out of my own pocket. Let's get started with today's top topic.
Top topic?
Top topic. That sounds kind of funny.
Top topic.
You want a big meal and not a big deal.
Who says nothing is going on in the world of Disney parks and resorts? Hong Kong, everyone's favorite Disney theme park, has announced a major minor expansion.
It's like $425 million, though, isn't it?
Wow, that's half a DCA.
Is that in
American dollars or like yeah, Hong good. Kong fooies?
Number one super guy.
That's their currency, right? The fooey?
Yeah. No, it's the dollar.
Oh, really?
Can I ask you a question regarding that Hong Kong expansion?
You can.
On the latest, it says, today Walt Disney Parks and Resorts confirmed that Hong Kong's Disneyland announced Toy Story Land will be exclusive to Asia only. And therefore, the land has been approved for the Walt Disney Studios Park in Paris.
That had me reading it a couple of times. What it actually meant, and I should have rewritten it, it's exclusive only for Asia. I think someplace it probably says that that's exclusive, and what it means it's only going to be in Asia in that park.
Okay, because
but
I...
But it can't be outside of Asia.
Because I had read that they were going to have new lands would be exclusive for a certain period of time, but
right.
that only means exclusive to Asia.
Correct.
That's not terribly exclusive.
Shanghai.
Oh, you know, okay, so it won't go to
Tokyo.
Shanghai or Tokyo.
Yeah.
Is what that means.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
I understand. Now I understand.
And it won't
when I
go
first...
to Universal.
No,
it
because
took me
honestly,
two
when I read it, when I read it in the paper yesterday, I didn't get that that meant it could appear at other parks based upon they wrote it, the way they wrote it. I get here that it can exist in other parts, but it's weird.
Okay. Anyway, you want to tell us about the Hong Kong expansion, FB?
Yeah. Well, the weird part is it takes it's not, it's off the hub and spoke concept. Basically, it's behind the rivers of America.
Well, that's been done, right? Other place, I mean, Toontown.
Right. No, but it's weird because it's three interlocking lands on one side. Basically, imagine if, you know, on the across the train tracks from the burning cabin, you had three lands, and there's only two ways to enter: one on the Toy Story Land side and one on the Grizzly Trail side.
Okay.
So it's just a little weird. You know, it's not the typical land thing. Not big deal, but just different. More of an IOA feel. That way.
Well, that can't be a bad thing.
No, they're actually building new stuff. So the first land's going to be Grizzly Trail, which features a lot of water. I guess that's some of the feedback they got in, that there's just not enough water features at Hong Kong Disneyland.
I wonder if that's what the feedback actually says. There is a lack of water features in this
yes,
park.
Yes, that is. and it takes place on August 8th, 1888, the luckiest day of the luckiest month of the luckiest year. And they're just trying to discover gold at the Big Grizzly Mountain Mining Company. But something goes terribly wrong, and you have life-size audio animatronic bears set the story into motion on the Big Grizzly Mountain coaster. You go frontwards, you go backwards. It's sort of like if Big Thunder Mountain and Expedition Everest and Grizzly Peak had a baby.
Okay. Thank you, fanboy.
So when did it take place again?
August 8th, 1888.
It's an attraction family tree.
So it's there already, and they're just they're digging.
Oh, they're
for
digging.
It now.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
And then there's
long way to dig.
There's Mystic Point, which
I
is,
saw that movie. Didn't it have Demi Moore in it?
No, that was Bruce Willis, wasn't it? Or was it Ashton Kutcher?
Sure.
I think it was. Who was in that movie?
I have no idea. Okay. I don't even know what movie you're talking about.
Mystic Pizza.
Oh, dude.
You were looking for a Point Break?
I was looking for Mystic Point.
Sounds like
a Ben Affleck movie.
Should have been better.
Mystic Point is sort of is a rainforest mystic area where...
Mystic? Really?
It's going to feature a trackless haunted mansion.
Oh, very cool.
And...
I'm good. No, never mind.
It's a trackless, like the Winnie
like
the Pooh attraction.
Okay.
Except
yes.
It's a haunted... I mean, it's not the haunted mansion that we know, but it's a haunted mansion.
Cool.
And then it's called Mystic Manor. And then it'll also have some restaurants, like the Adventurers Club.
The Adventurers Club.
Oh, nice to know those people have a place to go now. I don't know what American Night Experience is going to do.
Yeah, it's...
Seriously, it's described kind of like the Adventurers Club that used to be at PI?
It's called the Adventurers Club, and it features bizarre artifacts. And, yeah, basically, you know, basically maybe they found that they needed to use all that stuff for depreciation purposes. So they're just going to gut the building. And
okay.
That's lovely.
And then there's Toy Story copyright land. sort of looks like Flix Fun Fair.
Yeah, it does.
But basically, it's going to be the physical footprint will be increased by 23%. And it's going to bring the attraction count to over 100, according to
this. Does LaughingPlace.com have the concept art?
Yes,
or
we
is
do.
That,
go okay. to the latest, and there's a link to LP Lotion, which has the big overall map and concept art for each of the three sections.
So
in
yeah,
both American and Chinese. Is that what they speak in Hong Kong?
Yes.
Well, which variety? Of it? Mandarin? Or?
I believe it's Bartlett pear variety.
So embarrassing.
But it's increasing the park's physical footprint by 23%. Do you think that's a coincidence?
Oh, they're going to be a member of
D23. D23.
That should just be automatic.
We're going to increase everything by 23%.
Why are they? Well, first of all, this is Hong Kong, so the government's paying for it, right?
No.
Disney's actually going to be paying for it
yes.
and gaining additional equity. So Hong Kong will own 51% and Disney will own 49%.
Is this like a government arm twisting because the park is underperforming, or what's going on?
Well, yeah, I guess there's a little bit of that. I mean, just by the fact that they keep saying that this is unique, 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 I think they're trying to make sure that any Disney negotiations with another part of the Chinese government might not derail their popularity. Trying to bring in mainland visitors, which has been a challenge. And they say specifically that it's trying to, based on guest feedback. So I'm guessing that they don't know the characters. They don't know, you know, it's a Small World's last major attraction they opened, and maybe they don't understand why that's special. So by having Toy Story, which is the biggest Disney movie in China, having that be a presence, having sort of this Wild West and Adventureland-esque thing, maybe they're trying to cater to the sensibilities of their guests.
That's exciting.
It's nice to see it's not all carbon copy stuff like Disney's typically doing.
They're getting good stuff.
Yeah.
And we're getting dresses.
What's sad is I'm excited to see it because it's the only new attraction I'm going to see.
But it's good for Hong Kong.
Like the idea, like Mystic Manor, that's, you know, Haunted Mansion, but actually different.
Yeah, trackless.
And, you know, different title, but same general concept.
I don't like the name Mystic Manor.
Mystic Manor, you know, Haunted Mansion, Mystic Manor.
Is anyone calling them these things? I mean, it's Hong Kong. I would presume that it might have some, like, there's all these things about the puns that
I'm pretty sure Mystic Manor on the, it's called Number 4.
But, like the shop in Grizzly Trail is named Bear Necessities Merchandise Stand. Is that pun really going to work over there?
I know they have the Philip A. Couch Casting Games here.
So.
All right. Well, that's exciting. Exciting.
Wish I had some domestic park news to tell you about.
It's exciting and yet a little depressing.
You know, and you mentioned that, and I was just looking at the fact of Mitchell Musso is going on tour.
Musso.
And he's a, you know, Disney Channel celeb, just dropped an album. It's doing well.
It's not the short one, by the way. I want everybody to know that.
Yeah.
What?
It's not the short guy, Mitchell Musso. He's not the little guy.
And he's going on tour. And where is he going?
Rico.
Six Flags Great Adventure, Six Flags Over Texas, Six Flags Fiesta, you know, various arenas.
Going to all the bankrupt parks.
But it's just, yeah, it's just fascinating. House of Blues in L.A. Not Anaheim. House of Blues in L.A. Six Flags Magic Mountain. Anaheim is September 3rd.
He already played Disneyland. He opened up Summer Nightastic.
And he's coming to the House of Blues here September 18th. So if you have a...
If he doesn't get banned for being over the line like they do sometimes in House of Blues.
If you have a trip planned to Walt Disney World around September 18th and you have a Mitchell Musso fan in the group, House of Blues, they're going to have Mitchell.
That's exciting. And speaking of Mitchell Musso...
I got my tickets.
Disney Channel.
Woohoo! Princess Protection Program.
P-Cubed premiere this week.
It just rocked the ratings.
Is it?
It's their third... most viewed DCOM flick.
Don't tell me. Let me guess. Number one, High School Musical 2, because people anticipated it.
Yes, you are absolutely correct.
And number two, Camp Rock, because, it's the Jonas Brothers.
Very good.
And
as you know, Camp Rock actually had like half the viewing audience of High School Musical 2.
That's what blew me away. The difference between 1 and 2 was 50%.
Speaking of the Jonas Brothers, did you hear the big news? Kevin Jonas is engaged to Daniel DeLisa.
Oh, is this somebody this doesn't sound like a celebrity?
Kevin Jonas?
I mean, it's not a celebrity hookup.
Engaged to whom?
Danielle. She said yes, 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 like 50 times, super fast in a row. The oldest of the Jonas Brothers tells People magazine.
Wow.
They met in May of 2007 while vacationing with their families in the Bahamas.
Oh, the Jonases have a Yoko.
She's a former hairdresser. And, it's breaking news.
Oh, that's cool.
That's huge. You heard it here first if you were listening live.
But Princess Protection Program was a lot of fun. It features Demi Lovato and Selena Gomez, as everybody knows.
Demi.
And I was a little bit surprised. I thought it would have more music than it did.
Oh, like you don't think that.
More music? What?
Domo Origato, Demi Lovato, Demi,
I've never
Demi.
Thought that.
Demi
Lovato to me is just half.
The typical fish out of water type thing. The poor little princess has to go into hiding as a normal American teenager in Lake Monroe, Louisiana. And
really looks like Vancouver to me.
And she's actually filmed in Puerto Rico.
Oh, really?
Puerto Rico.
And or at least scenes of it were filmed in Puerto Rico. I didn't see any thank you to the wonderful people of Canada, so I presumed it was all filmed in Puerto Rico. But I could be wrong.
The premiere was in Canada.
The Oh, that's right. You know, no, some of it must have been filmed in Canada because they talked about how they ducked out of the filming to go party with that local high school, right? Isn't that what they did?
Yeah.
It was sweet. Usually with these kinds of films, I was telling the captain earlier, usually with these types of films, you have, you know, two characters who are thrust into a circumstance that they're both kind of out of their element, and they both learn lessons from it. And I don't know, you know, what you think, fanboy, but in this particular case, it seemed to me that only the Selena Gomez character really had anything to learn and really learned anything from the situation. I didn't find that the Demi Lovato character had much of a transition.
You know what
she
needed to learn, the Demi Lovato character? Why she doesn't have an accent when everyone else in her country does.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Princessa Rosie did not sound much like a princessa.
I didn't get a chance to see it, but I did see like the first 5 minutes, and it had this really cool sci-fi thing going on. We are the Princess Protection Program. You won't hear of us until you need to hear of us. I'm like, this is really cool, but then I had to go. Was that what it was?
I told you no. That was like the 5 minutes.
That's what I said. I was like wow, it seemed pretty, you know, like high budget for a DCOM movie.
No, it's just the story of a bait shop girl. You know, the girl in the it's you know, she just sells she sells bait with her dad.
Which was which? Demi played the princess.
And Selena was the bait shop girl.
That makes sense.
I watched it on the second night.
With the count that how many princesses
dude,
to
they
win.
They said princess, princessa, and princesses way too much.
You were
in
supposed
that movie.
To count it, and then you use that number to enter into enter a code, and then you could watch previously unseen episodes of Wizards of Waverly Place and Sunny with a Chance.
But basically, you get by the middle, you get frustrated with keeping having to take tallies, but then. You're like, I've already wasted 45 minutes of my life on this. I don't want to give up now.
Were there any cameos?
Like fun ones?
Like a Jonas or a Hannah or something?
No.
Okay.
Not really. The one thing I forgot to do was watch it again on Sunday night and at 7 o'clock catch the sneak peek of Princess and the Frog. So I'm kind of bummed about that. But I figure it's online somewhere.
Princess and the Frog?
It's on internet. I believe it's on internet.
But I did finally see what she looks like as a princess frog. And she's cute. Mm. She has big, pretty eyes with, like, little eyelashes. I hadn't seen it yet.
I tried to see if it was on Disney On Demand.
It isn't.
And it wasn't. But you know what was? Mackenzie Falls.
Oh, which is too funny. Okay, Doobie, I know you don't watch Sunny with a Chance with me.
No, I know Mackenzie Phillips.
Okay, well, okay.
That was so weird.
Sunny with a Chance is about a show within a show.
She was on a Disney Channel original series, so weird.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Is it?
You have no idea.
You Can't Do That on Television kind of a show within a show? Or what? There was some Nickelodeon show I thought you used to watch that was like a show within a show. Okay, never mind. So Sunny with a Chance is about... this girl named Sunny who goes to California to be in a TV show that's called So Random. And they do like, right? So Random? Yeah. And they do like skits, like kind of SNL, but family friendly.
I would hope so.
Okay. and they kind of have this in-studio rivalry with the kids of the show called Mackenzie Falls, which is a total blast of all the teen
Dawson
angst.
Creek.
Oh, that's awesome.
Dawson Creek, One Tree Hill, all this kind of stuff. Well, Disney has seen the popularity of these characters of the show within the show, so they've created webisodes, which are the teen spoof of the... So there's Mackenzie Fall webisodes
that's
now.
That's cool.
So you can go... And it's funny, because it's all just the look, you know, far-off look. The one scene that they have on the webisode is the two guys are having some sort of argument. You come into it partway through, and he's like, yes, I drove your car, and I'm sorry I drove your car, but really, the whole time I was driving your car, I was thinking of you, man. I was thinking of you. And then they have, like, this hug, and the music swells.
That's beautiful.
It's quite fun. I enjoyed it. But the actor who plays Mackenzie of Mackenzie Falls, he was saying that they aren't sure exactly how this is going to play yet because their, you know, average age of their audience, they don't really follow, per se, like he was saying, like Days of Our Lives. They don't really follow soap. So he was wondering, you know, just kind of how it will play for them to, in essence, mock soaps. But I'm thinking he doesn't really understand that there's Dawson's Creek and all
that.
He
doesn't know they're mocking. The kids will think this is... No!
but he really loves you. But it's pretty funny.
Because those little girls are looking for it for the plot.
So you can catch those on MackenzieFalls.com, or if you have Disney On Demand, you can find them on Disney On Demand.
DOD.
So lots of fun. The Disney Channel is just
better
amazing.
Than DOA.
I mean, I think I was
Bring
telling you.
Bring back Walt Disney.
No, I mean, well, it would be nice.
Oh, not that again.
Well, it would be nice.
You probably solved the Adventures Club problem. And bring that up.
And VMK.
But it's amazing. It's amazing the turnaround. And there was an article not too long ago with Rich Ross.
Yes.
And it was very cool. It was in the Times, And he was just, he was discussing the turnaround of the Disney Channel and how, you know, he kind of discovered, in essence, the Jonas Brothers, because they were, you know, their label was done with them. And it's just, I don't know, it's neat, and I enjoy it, and I'm glad it's still around, because this was, I think, its 76th DCOM original.
Wow. Does that include, like, the old Disney?
I think so. I'm not sure the exact number, but yeah, 76, I think. Is that what
I told
you?
It
might have been 72, something.
After that, after 70-plus DCOMs, the number one is still Quince. Starring Megan Robuck.
But you know,
in your mind, forever, it will be first in your mind.
I watched the new Disney XD show.
Zeke and Luther.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's goofy, but I enjoyed it.
He gets his toes stuck in this.
Yeah, well, but that's just classic.
But you know what Zeke and Luther did bring me on both Radio Disney and DisneyXD.com?
What?
Joy and entertainment?
A remake. What would you call it?
A
cover? A new interpretation.
A reimagining?
A reimagining of You Can't Touch This.
Really?
Really?
Yes, as sung by the cast of Zeke and Luther.
Oh,
visit
wow.
DisneyXD.com, it'll be enjoyed. Especially when they have to go, it's him, go Hammer, see him. Go Hammer. It's a little awkward because he's not there.
Okay.
Next up on our agenda today is change. Because the Hall of Presidents is reopened.
Wow. Nice.
I like how they say, the recently installed figure of the country's 44th chief executive comes to life.
It's 43rd.
Depends how you want to count it. You know how much simpler life would be if Grover Cleveland would have just not run again?
You know that this Hall of Presidents rehab was an abatement I can believe in. Get it? Asbestos? Never mind.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't.
The reason it took so long was because they had to abate the Hall of Presidents of asbestos. It was built in 1971.
Okay. No. I'm sorry, I'm not used to the word abatement.
Really?
I've never heard that word.
You've never worked construction, have you?
As a matter of fact, my father was a carpenter.
Yeah. Doesn't.
And I was smart enough to go a different way.
So the attraction has been retitled Hall Hop. Of Presidents, a Celebration of Liberty's Leaders. And when we were there, the guy actually welcomed you to a Celebration of Liberty's Leaders. He didn't welcome us to Hall of Presidents. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, that's interesting. I just love seeing, since it's so in the internet these days, that you just keep seeing this abbreviation for hop.
Hop. Hop.
Which the reminds hop. Me of IHOP, of course.
Let's go to the hop.
Not the song. Man. Let's go to the hop.
Plantation coupon.
Let's go to the hop.
So anyway, so we've all seen IHOP. We've all seen Hall of Presidents. A celebration.
We've all seen IHOP, too.
Celebration of Liberty's Leaders in one form or another. So let's all discuss. First of all, what are the changes?
Well, they've made it about the leaders of the nation, so they have a lot more montages of images and quotes and speech tidbits from numerous presidents, as opposed to
that same pound of tea that costs you power shillings costs us six.
So before that, it was
that,
about,
that would be in the, that's American.
So instead of being about,
oh, but that painting's in it.
That painting was, yeah.
So instead of being about American history, it's about the presidents.
Yes, and that
that's a novel concept.
And but mostly instead of being about the Civil War, which it was before, now it's mm-hmm. more general.
Yeah, and then when you enter, they have artifacts from the president, so you learn a little bit about maybe their personal side. Like for instance, FDR, they had his magnifying glass gadget for his stamp collecting hobby, and they had John Adams' family seal, and you know he was known for his letter writing, so that was cool.
John Adams' family seal actually made fun of all the previous presidents.
one thing that didn't make it was they were going to have
there was only one previous president.
So yes.
Yeah.
They had a picture of JFK's pet, well, not his, but Carolyn's pet pony.
Oh yeah, her first pony.
Which I just found funny.
Did they have Taft's bathtub?
Bathtub, no. Did they have the bathtub?
They had W's inaugural boots, which were just awesome. They had the presidential seal on them. That's so cool.
It was very funny. I found it very funny. And then three dresses from the first ladies, and Nancy Reagan's going to have a revolving display of dresses. She donated quite a few.
Made me think, considering the Princess Di dress exhibit going in, that we finally know what the Disney Parks agenda is for 2009.
Dresses.
That's what I'm celebrating.
And
what I noticed that the screens were much the the display was much nicer when they had the images of the presidents.
That was
and
digital, I would presume.
Yeah, that was my assumption, was that it's now digital.
I noticed the display was better when like the video
projector
buffered. And
okay, John may have, Captain John may have seen a YouTube version of it.
But that was nice. And now they've grouped the presidents more based upon era that they were in. So you aren't doing the
You're not jumping around quite as much.
Yeah. So you maybe have five or six.
It's not the tennis match of presidents.
No, you have like five or six in the same area.
So Andrew Jackson doesn't whisper sweet nothings into Dwight Eisenhower's ear anymore?
No. No. And I have to admit that I didn't notice as much of that, but it could be because I was so interested in the lead character. You know, the lead presidents, you know, when Washington was speaking, I was paying attention to Washington. And when President Obama was speaking, I was paying attention to him as well.
I do remember someone, like, patting the back of another
guy. Yeah, when they announced him, after they announced him and it faded.
And
like,
good job.
Good job, sir.
I don't remember, though. Did anyone look at their watch?
I don't remember any of that.
I'm pretty sure Quincy Adams looked at his watch.
Yeah, okay.
It's digital.
One of those big jumbo ones.
Yeah, pulled it out.
No, he just uses the cell phone.
Lincoln actually appears two separate times in this, in that he is initially presented alone on the stage in the midst of the multimedia presentation at the, you know, the correct moment in the timeline of the U.S. He presents his Gettysburg Address, and then the curtain drops once again. They go on with more multimedia montage of the presidents, kind of a chronology, and just famous moments that some of them brought to us, like FDR's remarks in his fireside chats, President Johnson's comments when he was forced into office with the assassination of JFK, President Clinton's remarks with the Oklahoma City bombing, President Bush's remarks with 9/11, President Reagan's remarks with the Challenger, various kind of moments in time the presidents led us through. And then it moved on into, you know, kind of
roll
the
call
future. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I got a question.
So it's cool.
What are they going to do with the finale of the video montage when they retire the space shuttle?
I know, huh? Because that's the last. It kind of builds up into our great and tremendous future, you know, the hope of the tomorrow kind of concept. And then the shuttle launches and it fills the screen just like it did before. And as the plume of fire and smoke fills the screen, the screens rise and ta-da, they're your presidents, and they announce them.
The hopes and dreams of residents of the Space Coast hope that the space shuttle.
Exactly.
The other major addition, obviously, other than the new president, Barack Obama, is George Washington has a speaking role now. And I know they had to talk to Michael Ovitz, I believe, was his agent. It took him a while to get this right, but they got it done. George Washington has a good role, which is nice because he, if I'm not mistaken, was our first president, was pretty influential in not only securing this country, but being the first president and establishing the presidency. Right. And it's nice to see him getting some props.
Word.
Word up.
But did they give him wooden teeth? Did you notice?
He talks with his mouth closed. He's not articulated. He's actually a
robot.
He's a dead character.
And this is all narrated by Lucius Fox.
Yes, it is.
Morgan Freeman.
Yes, it is.
Lucius Fox.
Why do I know that?
Batman.
Name?
Batman.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Lucius. Xavier Sarsaparilla. Really, where are you? So George Washington gives a speech, and then Barack Obama gives his inauguration.
Oath of office?
Oath of office. That's the one. Yeah. It's not exactly the inauguration because it's not back and forth. So it's the...
He's just saying it alone.
Yeah. He didn't have the mistake from the real inauguration from the Supreme Court Justice. And then he gives an inspiring speech about America. So all in all, they took a fairly dated but important attraction and made it a pretty good and important attraction. Yay, Disney.
Can I ask you a question there? Here's my thing.
John Quincy Adams.
No. It was just like a little something that I noticed, and maybe I'm wrong, so it's just my opinion. I thought the articulation was amazing. The motion of the animatronics and whatnot was really, really incredible. But for me, in watching Lincoln speak, I don't know if Lincoln was known for being an incredibly expressive orator. This is not my remembrance, but you know, I could be wrong. So I found in some ways the fact that he was so motion filled to be a little distracting. I was telling the captain, to me it was like an actor giving President Lincoln's speech rather than President Lincoln giving President
Lincoln's
speech.
Well, we know he loves the theater.
So, a Now that's really just wrong.
Do you think, is he more articulated than you recall the last version of, well, not the last version, because You Must Live didn't really, but yeah, the last version of Great Moments?
You know, it's been so long, so I don't know if I'm really drawing upon, you know, all those times I've gone over the years. You know, I don't know which memory I'm drawing off of.
Because my memory of Lincoln is strike him with the blow. Never. I mean, he's just all over the place.
Really? Okay.
What's funny is that, like, is this a new animatronic, or is this the new Great Moments of Mr. Lincoln binaural sound experience just moved to Florida? Because he looks the same to me as the last one.
Well, they're reopening.
They're reopening
Moments of Mr. Lincoln.
Yeah.
That's
so,
kind of
I don't know what version. I mean, I'm guessing it probably will be taking some things from this new Hall of Presidents, because it's the same creative team. So...
But did you think, I mean, I just don't know. I can't answer. But
yeah.
Did you find it an effective new attraction?
Oh, the attraction itself is tremendous. I mean, just from start to finish, I was really, really happy with, I mean, I was telling, you know, I was talking to the captain earlier while walking happy before the podcast, that it used to be very difficult to kind of differentiate your American Adventure experience from your Hall of Presidents experience, to the point where, you know, it's kind of like one of those things, well, if you're pressed for time, you know, just pick one, don't bother with the other. But now they really are two very, to me, very separate, unique experiences within them. So it isn't like, I don't feel like I'm repeating myself when I go to one or the other, and I feel like for now it's good to actually have more of the modern era represented. With American Adventure, the modern era to me is really just represented in kind of this beautiful, beautiful musical montage. Whereas here you had Clinton's remarks and whatnot, and that's very cool.
Which
I'm not trying to say make a political statement, but I can guarantee that the Imagineers that worked on this attraction will be voting for Obama again. Every time, every 4 years, we got to do this again.
Obama's hands are huge.
Yes, they are. No, it was.
They look weird.
Yeah, but I thought the same with the George Washington animatronic as well. So I don't know if it's just something about animatronics.
He has big hands and little arms.
It was good.
Besides, you know, he looked normal.
The music
besides
was good. I liked the score, the music that was under the various montages and stuff. It was I liked the score, so I'll be interested to learn more about that.
So your comments about the other similar attraction at Epcot begs the question: popcorn or churro? The current American Adventure or the new Hall of Presidents?
Oh, I'm an American Adventure fan.
American Adventure, Alex.
I haven't seen Hall of Presidents yet in person, but it's probably going to be American Adventure.
What is American Adventure? You are correct. Any other comments on Hop before we hop on over to a different
attraction? Hop.
It's very cold in there. I don't think that they're part of Disney's green initiative.
It is very cold.
It was
cold.
Like an icebox.
I remember
it place.
Being cold reserve, in there.
Yeah, I mean, you realize these presidents aren't alive anymore.
unlike the shops. What shop were we in? I was like, wow, it is warm in here. Mouse
the
ear.
One over Mr. Toys.
Yeah, it was Amazon. Where they say that?
Where they sell mouse ears on Main Street?
Okay.
It was warm in there.
Le Chapeau.
And then when you know what? It was when we cut through when we went to the studios to see Luxo Jr., who did not appear. When we cut through the shops, they were not as chilly as they used to be.
Have you seen Luxo Jr., fanboy?
I have.
What'd you think of him?
He's pretty impressive.
What does he do?
Suddenly he makes that lighting department sign make sense.
He jumps out of his little cubby hole and,
he dances. He has, there's like a country one. There's a...
Did you see day or night?
One. I saw day. I guess at night he like conducts the lights.
Yeah.
Aw, how cute.
That's cool. Well, we haven't seen it yet, so we won't defer that conversation. I'm just curious.
But Toy Story Mania did have a 120-minute wait today.
And they were out of fast passes, strangely enough.
Shocking. And this was, 2 o'clock
about
in the afternoon?
Yeah.
It's the only attraction to have a lower... Nope, it's the lowest capacity attraction to offer fast passes.
They should just have like a target set outside and people can shoot at that, and that determines how long the wait time sign is. Score!
All I know is I can't wait for the Wii. I'm very
sorry.
The Wii
version?
I can't wait for the Wii.
Once the Wii game comes out, I think if they just put that in the queue, that can solve some of the problems.
Put that at Pizza Planet.
Remember when we were talking about, you know, how silly it would be for a Wii game to come out?
Yep.
And how Toy Story Mania was just like a Wii, except you moved?
Yep.
And now I don't own a Wii, but once Toy Story Mania comes out for the Wii, I will be owning a Wii.
It's even 3D, correct?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah, so is the GeForce game.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's GeForce.
Poop in his hand! Poop in his hand! Is that, oh, dude, I don't even want to think about what that game's going to be like.
So, fanboy.
If you collect 100 stars, you get extra poop.
I've been reading this thing called Internet recently.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on with Carthay Circle?
I believe it was demolished and turned into a housing development.
Okay. That's the theater where Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs premiered back in the 30s.
Are
you talking about the exclusive club that might be opening at DCA?
Shh, it's a secret.
It's not a vacation club.
Apparently... The rumor is that I guess this isn't a rumor. A survey went out to people who are either maybe on the list to be in Club 33 or perhaps even Club 33 members. We heard about it from somebody who I guess is on the list. And they received a survey asking them if they would be interested in a club in DCA of a similar nature, I guess, to Club 33. You guys know the details.
Yeah, but it has like a $10,000 initiation fee.
That's it?
A $4,000 annual fee.
That's all? Is this Club D23?
That's what a lot of people are saying. It's like, why don't you just turn into like a D23 lounge or something?
That would make a lot of sense. But no, that doesn't make enough money. It's like the luxury box of...
But it's DC. That's like having the luxury box from minor league baseball.
DCA is on its way to moving up to the majors.
Hey, Drew Carey has a luxury box for... No, he's a part owner of a Seattle soccer team.
If I'm a part... I'm a part owner of DCA, but that's not most for me.
I only know that because he had to disclose it for a recent showcase. It was a luxury suite at the soccer game.
So, anybody think the concept of a club, like Club 33 priced, would actually fly in... these California Adventure?
It depends to me on what the viewing, because apparently it includes like special viewing area for the water.
Color.
I mean, according to the survey, it might include special viewing options for the Wonderful World of Color.
I think it's just called Wonderful
food.
World now.
Fine. And
no, it's not.
What's it called?
Color. World of Color.
That's close.
It's just called Color.
And, you know, that kind of thing, because that could be quite a benefit to have. You know, luxury seating for
but
that.
But still, it's DCA. That's like in front of the line path for King Triton's Carousel.
Okay, fine. You guys don't think so. I think there's a market for it.
I don't know.
I don't think maybe the price is quite right, but
no.
There's a market for it.
Well, I think
it.
That's
yours
that's,
if the price is right.
That's the problem is the price is totally out of whack. If it was, even if it was just like, you know, maybe $1,500 a year, people would buy into it. But a $10,000 initiation fee for... basically a restaurant, you still got to pay for the food. It's not Club 33. It's, you know, it's...
Food-wise, it's probably better.
Right.
But this is really just trying to see if they can get some money from all those people who wish they could be in Club 33.
Yeah,
and if they can't, then they'll do it at a more reasonable price.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
By the way, I'm really bummed that there has been no announcement of President Obama coming to Walt Disney World. I really thought I was onto something. I mean, they've announced that there's going to be 1,000 immigrants to be sworn in.
You never know. He could, you know, come in on a helicopter and like parachute down
Andy
into the Magic Kingdom.
Andy Garcia's going to be there.
Say, who needs Obama when you've got Andy Garcia?
But I really thought I was onto something.
And the Voices of Liberty.
Especially when you look at Wikipedia, and one of his daughter's birthdays is July 4th, and so
I'm pretty sure it's July 4th, even if you don't look
really
at Wikipedia.
When you look at the Obama family biography, you realize that somebody's celebrating a birthday, and what is Disney all about this year? Celebrations.
Oh, she's
going to
get
him
free.
Culture. Yeah. Come on.
And she gets to go to downtown Disney and celebrate today on her birthday.
But I was happy to learn he's throwing out the first pitch at the All-Star Game.
Yeah.
So. Oh, and if he hits a grand slam, I
get
a free
get
ticket
tacos?
To G-Force.
Oh, no, that's right. It's G-Force.
So hopefully...
If he gets a single, you get two free tickets to G-Force.
Dude, is that not the scariest? Like, is it? It just looks terrible. And I've already heard that there's rumors about two, like G-Force 2.
I saw Knowing this year.
Yes.
If I see G-Force, Knowing will not be the worst movie I've seen this year.
You will see G-Force.
Bad as it looks... I remember all the same stuff about Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Yeah,
that looked dreadful.
That looked really terrible.
And that was okay movie.
That proves the rule.
That was fun.
We'll find out.
Was that this year, Beverly Hills Chihuahua?
That was last year.
Wow. We've only seen 9 movies this year?
And And I have another question. How do you base a book on a video game like Spectrobes? Isn't Spectrobes like...
It's like Pokemon.
Is Spectrobes like Pokemon?
Yeah, you're like training aliens or something like that.
I, for whatever reason, I kind of thought Spectrobes was more like that other game they had. Meteoroids or whatever.
Oh, no, no.
And I was like, how do you write a book based on that?
It's you collect things and stuff like that. But, yeah, I guess that's the big...
Spectrobes.
Big deal today. Spectrobes books. Oh, did you hear that... you know what's getting a lot of play for no good reason? You know the ABC show Castle?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
They're writing a book as if it written by the author.
Oh, very clever.
And apparently this
So it's a book within a show.
Yes.
I see there's a trend going on today.
They did that at Lost.
Yeah, they did it with Lost, but it's getting a lot of buzz because it's like new media is embracing old media. First of all, I don't know that I would call television new media. Granted, books are older. But... it's everywhere. It was on CNBC this morning.
That's because these people want to save their jobs. Leno was in every newspaper, too.
Do you know Michael Eisner was quoted as saying that Leno being on at 10 o'clock is the death of network TV?
Really?
Yes. And he's been so successful lately.
I know him being on CNBC was the death of that.
I've been reading...
CNBC, huh? Check for them today, too.
I was reading the Disney Touch. I was looking at the Disney Touch, and that's the book about the years after Eisner came into being. And it's 25 years since he in essence kind of helped Disney not be cut up into itty-bitty little pieces.
Hey, fanboy, this one's just for you. Great, not great. And just one answer, no qualifications, Michael Eisner.
Ouch, that's hard. That's mean.
That is hard. I'm going to go with...
Can you at least divide it up into
before
and after?
Way too easy.
I'm going to go with great.
Okay.
I think you've asked that before, and I think he has been consistent on saying great.
That's good. Well, I'll mark it down to ask it at show 140.
Frank Wells? Great. Not so much in the last
Jeffrey
10
Katzenberg?
Years. Not great. He's a little midget.
Dick Nunes?
Great.
Jack Lindquist?
Great.
Jack Hardwalker? Green.
Great.
Hardwalker.
Not great.
Ron Miller.
Funny.
Roy E. Disney.
Great.
Roy O. Disney.
Great.
So according
great
to this book...
Great.
Roy O. Disney is obviously...
So according
to... The Ravenscroft.
According to Disney Touch, one of the first things that Michael Eisner presented when he was coming in, you know, to Disney was the concept of transforming Cinderella Castle, some of the upper floor, into a suite for honeymooning couples.
Yeah.
I just find that funny because it didn't happen until he was out.
Yeah.
And then they did it.
Oh, every good thing that's happened in the past few years was actually Michael Eisner's idea.
Yeah, like acquiring Pixar.
Yeah. Having 2 years of a million dreams?
Yeah.
That was his idea.
Bringing Diana to downtown Disney.
Well, I said every good thing.
Oh. Celebrate tonight.
Today and during the daytime.
I've never read Storming the Magic Kingdom, so I thought, since it's like the 25th anniversary in essence of it,
that's
I should go get that.
The second greatest book ever written.
After, don't tell me.
Yeah.
Oh, the one that's this thick by that guy.
James Stewart.
James Stewart.
Yes, Disney War.
Disney War, yes.
Greatest story ever told.
Hey, Rebecca, you want to read number one over there? By the way, they don't go in order.
That goes quicker than number two.
Hey, LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
Hopefully this gets you in time.
Wait. Let's do that again.
LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
Thank you.
Hopefully this gets you in time. Sorry for the choppy sentence structure. Think of this as my stream of consciousness email.
Email.
LCAP and up. Love going there, but why the big G-Force event and only a stage show for Up? Last great movie and event I've attended there was for Enchanted. I saw a stilt walker there a few days ago and a woman wrapped in balloons to look like Kevin. I'll try to send a picture for you.
What?
Oh, don't you remember the bird?
Yeah,
Kevin?
Yes, but balloons?
Oh, that's cool.
So they have like a stilt walker wrapped up in balloons.
I gotcha.
At least that's what I understand. But they said that, but she says that she will try... Wing Nike says she will try and send a picture. Let's see. Loved Up, but Wally was such a lovable character.
Enchanted was a great event at Alcat.
Yes, it was. It was a lot of fun.
Enchanted. Which one? What did they do for that?
They had the whole princess tent experience.
Do you remember that for Ice Princess? A forgettable movie, but they had the
ice rink. We didn't go, but yeah.
Wow, that's forgettable.
You know, but I got to say, you know, the attractions are cool, but the stage shows are a lot of fun.
I like the shows better.
Yeah. They're, I'm looking forward to going there during Christmas to see the Christmas Carol Christmas stage show.
That will be fun.
Like a cup of hot cocoa.
A better than a Christmas Carol Halloween.
Or they're in June.
Yeah, the 4th of July. For the 4th of July, I'm going to go to Cleveland to see the train tour.
So she laughed at the Up Dogs, especially since she knows someone named Alpha. She watched it once in 3D and once in regular format, so she saw lots of different trailers. Lots of cheering for Toy Story. Princess looked cute. Get Ice Age off my screen, please.
Please.
Yes. I don't see that trailer anymore.
Is it terrible of me to hope that Up destroys Ice Age 3 in the box office the way a meteor destroyed all of the dinosaurs? Not at all.
That might be overkill.
I enjoyed Partly Cloudy.
I'd prefer it didn't happen that way.
I enjoyed Partly Cloudy, but that's probably because I loved Presto, least favorite, Bounden, and Lifted. No, least Lifted's my least favorite. Side note, the Virgin store across from the LCAP has closed.
But coming soon. dresses of RuPaul.
On the wall at the Diana exhibit, you know, it says, what's there? One of the largest U.S. collections of Princess Diana's dresses.
Okay.
One of 30.
She goes on to say that she's recently joined D23 and bought tickets to the expo, even though she's not sure she'll be able to go.
Welcome to the club.
Small peeve that the events are still too exclusive. Things sold out too quickly, and that's even one of the reasons why she joined, and she's unable to go to the archives, and that was kind of one of the things that drew her in.
Just a small peeve? That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Because that was only, the archives was only 75 people
per day. But they've talked about the fact that they're going to add more.
Right.
So hopefully
and eventually
with Nike
the
you'll
demand
get in.
Will, I presume, subside.
One would
hope. Not the demand, but the ability.
Yes.
I mean, there's only, like 80 D23 members? Just kidding.
82.
Hey, Dibby, you worked at Caltrans?
I worked at Caltrans.
I work right across from there and sometimes grab lunch from the cafeteria. I have a friend who works there now, storm drain section, and he's really loving the mandatory furlough days. I can't be too sarcastic. My days are coming up next month. I think I'll go to Disney.
I'd just like to say I did not work at the main Caltrans office. I worked at an outpost over in Commerce, me and about 20 other homies in my department.
Okay.
Interning there. Did some Clipper program. Let's hear it for the Clipper Summer 87 people out there. That's right. All right.
How did you get over there?
I walked.
Apparently, she wishes to take issue with our great not great of Disneyland attractions, saying that I like Interventions and think it's great. It's air conditioned. There are free video games. There are places to sit. And it's a great place to view the fireworks. I like wandering around and fiddling with the house settings.
Wing at Nike, you are suspended for 2 weeks from contacting us.
See,
I didn't take into account the viewing of fireworks.
But hey, here, when you live in Florida, there are plenty of places where you can see fireworks from your house. You can fiddle with your own air conditioning settings.
And Japanese toys. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I've seen a few pieces of merchandise at Disneyland that I thought were exclusive to Tokyo Disneyland. The covers even seem to have the Tokyo version of the castle. There were a few building block sets of Disneyland attractions, Winnie the Pooh, Splash Mountain, etc.
Yeah,
I saw
those. Yeah.
If they're bringing more stuff, then I would like to request the Omiyagi cookies, which are individually wrapped cookies in nice tins. Hang on.
Those were baked by Pat Morita.
The popcorn buckets and their version of Pooh's Honey Hunt. Just kidding, but not really. Have a great weekend, Winged Nike.
Thanks so much, Winged. We love to hear from you.
I wonder if the new bucket of crispy treats seen this?
It's like a lunchbox.
It's like a little lunchbox.
But it's cardboard. And it includes like five different kinds of Rice Krispie treats. One shaped like a cake.
It has
four other
different flavors.
Cupcake.
Different
it has a cupcake.
Different topics.
Then they have like icing on them, looks like a piece of cake. One looks like a Mickey. They have one that's like cupcake.
That sounds heavenly.
It looked really nice. And then they have right now on sale an assortment of patriotic colored Rice Krispie treats.
I don't think those came from Japan.
I am not a Rice Krispie treat fan, but but
what?
He is. I'm just not. They're so big.
They're so good.
If they were longer and half the size, but they're too tall.
You need a bigger mouth.
So Doobie wants the giant.
They have one that's shaped like a Mickey silhouette. It's probably about 10 inches across, and it's covered with sprinkles.
And pink.
Rainbow
and
or chocolate?
Rainbow.
Oh,
good.
Rainbow, pink. Lots of pinks and purples.
I sold her for my next special day. That's what I want.
Our next celebration. Actually, what he said was for my next celebration.
Well, you celebrate every day at the Walt Disney World Resort.
Actually, you only go about 3 times a week.
You celebrate 3 times a week.
Do you celebrate at night or during the day?
I celebrate nighttime during the day.
We go 3 times a week just to see movies.
Oh, I don't count that. That's right.
So, hey,
what's next?
LPP. Yes. Hey, LPP.
Yeah, you know me. Yeah, you know me.
Says Q fanboy. How come you didn't say anything?
Because did I miss number two?
We
don't go in order of the. Go by that.
No, see, that was a fanboy's impression of Doobie.
So, hey, LPP. Q
yeah,
fanboy.
You know me.
I just watched the newest episode of Jonas and had the biggest laugh. Can you guys guess why?
Because there was a trash can.
You betcha. In this episode, your favorite member of the Jonas Troupe, the trash can, made its debut in
the
series.
The trash can.
Assuming you've probably already seen it and had a similar laugh, I just wanted to write to share the moment with you. Of course, the only reason why that scene made me smile was because I'm a huge fan of your podcast and remembered this inside joke. Jenna, part of Fanboys WWU Fan Club. So the trash can has finally made his appearance. Woohoo!
Yay!
I have to admit, I don't think I've seen it. So I have to go pay attention. I know.
See you later, trash can.
It must have just hopped over my head.
Hall of Presidents?
Can I talk about the... yeah, true. Can we talk about the fact that John returned to Sanaa?
We can.
Okay. Sanaa.
So, he's happy to tell us that Mark and I returned to Sanaa last Saturday for lunch, and we both enjoyed it a lot! Exclamation
Yay.
Point, exclamation point, exclamation
Yay.
Point.
You got it right.
I had the tandoori chicken, Mark had the tandoori fish, and we both revisited the mango margaritas and sampled bread selections, something we skipped over last time. Our server was much more pleasant and attentive than the last time, and we could tell she really knew and enjoyed the menu, and that helped. They passed on desserts because nothing tickled their fancy, which I'm totally with you there. And
but the chai cream.
That's yours, Captain.
That's my thing.
Is good.
And that was good.
For them, it was quite the treat because they were there for lunch and there was a cast member, and so 40% off, which makes it unbeatable. He says he would still rank Turf Club number one in that particular category of Disney restaurants, but it's clear that on this revisit that Sanaa was not given its proper due the first time.
See, I just had a revisit to Sanaa.
Yes, sir.
Both are like.
Okay.
And yes, I was there boy. For 2 hours.
Okay.
The service was very slow.
Oh, that's
so they
bad.
Decided to... So we were there for about 1 hour and 20 minutes, and so the server realized that the service was slow, so he said, "Don't worry, dessert's on me." And it took another 30 minutes to get the dessert menu, and 15 minutes to get the dessert. We were there for 2 hours.
Wow.
It was a miserable experience.
That's bad.
That's too bad.
I wasn't even with someone. I was with my parents, so it was like...
Maybe they just like us.
Oh, that's sad.
Maybe they were scared of your parents. I've met your parents.
Because we took your mom there, and we had a wonderful time with your mom.
I'm sure you did. I'm not saying... It's just hit or miss, I guess, would be what I'm trying to say.
It's
no,
it's canoe.
But,
What's canoe in the Matterhorn?
You know me very well, Rebecca.
Yes.
Turf Club has a fair pasta dish.
Yeah.
Really enjoyable onion rings. Fun drinks like the Blackberry Punch. Mm-hmm. Why am I so on it?
I think it's the decor.
I think you're right. It's
the environment
of
the place.
Very
especially
down.
When you eat outside
dour.
And your silverware falls to the
yes.
table.
That is the best thing.
What's dumber, that or every table to two times?
Can I?
Or the ginormous table legs at Beaches and Canyon.
Oh, very good.
See, these would be examples of where show gets in the way of guest experience. I was just telling Doobie the other day that every once in a while I want to showcase where, you know, Disney show is very important to Disney story.
Safety, courtesy,
you know,
show,
that kind
efficiency.
Of thing is very important. And sometimes I think story gets in the way of the guest experience. Not very often, but sometimes. And those would be examples of it. The authentic, huge table leg with a booth that there's no room for it.
Which comes first, show or efficiency?
Show.
Oh, that would be why.
And then yes, and then sometimes they don't put up
but
signage
courtesy's in there before show.
But then and then sometimes they don't put up signs for like no strollers because it doesn't really fit in with the story. So they don't have a sign that says no strollers. So the cast members have to be educated
I know
to tell
why
people
the
no strollers.
Food is cold at the Storyteller's Buffet.
Yeah. So, you know, just certain things like that. Every once in a while I think about that. And then going the other way around, when safety gets in the way of show. Like the rails like at the rails at Matterhorn that they had to install all along the mountain for if there's an evac now, they had to install rails. So that kind of thing. So every once in a while I just think, you know, it's funny because, you know, us fans who have been there a bazillion times, we notice these things and sometimes it just cracks me up. Like today was an example. We were walking up to the Magic Kingdom and, you know, they had a big sign, guest entrance, right? So this family of, like, six, you know, grandma, mom and dad, three kids, they were, you know, looking at the sign and looking at their tickets and looking at their sign and looking at their tickets, and the dad goes, ooh, guest entrance. I guess this is for maybe, like, resort people who are staying here. We should go over to those turnstiles over there. Maybe we can go in over there. And I almost said something, but it's one of those moments where it's I didn't really feel like I could jump in and say anything. But I felt bad because now they're walking all the way over to the other turnstiles.
Especially if they're trying to find one that doesn't say guest entrance.
I figured once they realized they all say guest entrance, then it'll
be
different.
We can't come today. But, let's go to Knott's Berry Farm.
But I mean,
that's a commute.
And I realize most guests aren't going to be that way. But
right next to Soup Plantation.
So back to what John was emailing us. Finally, Mark and I went to see Touchstone's The Proposal. We found it cute, though very predictable, which most romantic comedies are, he cites. Sandra Bullock in the cold-hearted Devil Wears Prada type role, not very believable, apparently. And Ryan Reynolds' character went from hating her to loving her a little too fast. But Betty White, always enjoyable. And he says, definitely a Netflixing film.
I agree with his appraisal.
So there you go. Have a great week. Look forward to seeing you around the parks. Same here.
I just got to say, fanboy, it shames me that you've seen The Proposal.
It's a Disney movie.
It shames me. You didn't see Kids.
That was not a Disney movie.
More importantly, he didn't make you go see it with him.
You know it's better. Yeah. First of all, we have a pact not to see romantic comedies together.
Oh, okay.
But Betty White makes that movie.
Yeah. It seemed like it in the she certainly made the previews, which is why I almost went to see it.
And Ryan is a likable guy.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the password?
Christmas?
The password is.
Oh, but she's, yeah, they, except the whole time you just wanted to
thank her for being a friend?
Yeah, and wanting her to tell a St. Olaf story and have cheesecake.
Did you ever see her in Lake Placid?
No.
She kicks some booty.
That's like a horror movie, isn't it?
Yeah, a campy one.
Campy.
Yeah. Not like campy, like Friday the 13th.
Of course they're like.
Captain, voicemail.
C:\1.mp3.
Hey, it's Magic0214 here, and I am going to give my thoughts, as I said in the last email. First of all, August 30th, Little Mermaid is closing on Broadway, which I think is really weird because it's been doing very well lately. It's been in the top 10 a couple times, the best-selling shows. I think it's a great musical by the songs, like Positivity, just new songs, and the people in it are amazing. I'm going to see it this summer for my first time with Drew Seeley and Faith Prince. I'm very excited about that because I wanted to see it, and it's kind of cool because I could see it right before it heads off to its tour, national tour next year. I'm also seeing Avenue Q, which is also closing, which is a great musical as well. I was also thinking, what are they going to fill it in? Because usually what happens is whenever one show closes for Disney, in the next 2 years, another one comes, so they always have three. So what would make a good musical? I want to ask you that. I would think Alice in Wonderland would be a good one. Aladdin, because they've done all the second Disney Golden Age shows, and they only need Aladdin to finish those. But, yeah, I think Alice in Wonderland would be great. And also, Pan Event happened this past weekend. I didn't go this year, unfortunately. I love pins, but I didn't get to go. It was, we forgot about it and kept forgetting to sign up. So this year's theme was Museum of Pinquiquities. Sounded like they had fun. There was a marriage proposal in the middle. So next year's Trade City USA,
and the
10th
there.
Anniversary of pin trading. It's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited that I get to go next year. Disneyland 55th is also next year, which is very exciting. G-Force is coming out soon. I signed up. Hopefully they get the Grand Slam, because I ain't going to see that movie if they don't get the Grand
Slam. Oh, we agree with you there, Magic 0214.
Sorry you got cut off there, but
oh, that's
it was
awesome.
Perfect.
That's awesome.
I have an idea for the musical, and that segues into something I was going to mention. I saw the miniseries Impact on ABC.
You want that to about impact the musical?
Did you enjoy that, by the way?
The moon about to collide with the Earth, and I think that would make a fine musical. The first week was quite good for this type of movie. The second week, it started to get a little, you know, you can't help but make this movie be bad. But as movies like this go on TV, this was definitely one of the much better ones.
I don't know when it's premiering, but the next musical from Disney is supposedly going to be called The Man in the Ceiling, based off of a book, not based off of a Disney movie. But I think Little Mermaid closed a little bit sooner than they expected it to. So I don't know what indicators or, you know, ticket sales were lagging in the fall, because Broadway tends to stink in the fall. And, I mean, not the shows itself. I'm sure they're still fine, but ticket sales, which really matters. And so that will be the next one. And I don't – the reason I don't think Aladdin would be coming is because it's sort of like become the forgotten franchise of the second Golden Age. It doesn't sell as well on DVD as Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King. So I just don't see that being a key franchise for him.
According to Broadway World, The Little Mermaid was the number one selling new Broadway musical of 2008, and it had sales of over $78 million. And they quote Thomas Schumacher, the president and producer of Disney's theatricals, and his quote in regards to the closure says, "Director Francesca Zambello, our creators, designers, and cast conjured a world unlike any Broadway has seen before, and audiences have been captivated by it at every explosive performance. We are tremendously proud of the show and are confident we'll have an excellent summer, but it would be fiscally irresponsible to our shareholders to risk operating losses with such a big show in the historically challenging fall months. We are closing the Broadway production to concentrate on the long future life of this title, beginning with next year's national tour and upcoming international productions." To me, it sounds like what fanboys
say. Did he say this show was doing well, but it would be irresponsible for us to risk it not doing well in the fall in this economic situation?
Yeah, basically. And so I wonder if it's A, more expensive than most shows, or just there were some contract challenges, or because there's rumors that the theater is going to be home to the Addams Family musical. That's
do what they want to do.
Because most people think songs from the Addams Family, but that's what they think of. So, I don't know what the – I mean, eventually the whole story will come out, but
So that's interesting.
What was the question again?
What Disney product do you think you could see coming to Broadway now?
I still want Nightmare Before Christmas on Broadway.
Newsies.
In claymation or with real people?
With real people. But
that's a one long show.
Yeah.
Lower the curtain. Oh, make a change, raise the curtain.
Yeah, this works well on a podcast.
that would be distressing. Okay, Fanboy and Doobie are about to fall out of their chairs laughing so hard at their ridiculous pantomiming.
What they do is that they make this big kind of zoetrope thing.
Oh, that's actually a really good idea. Wow, that is a good idea.
I would love to, Nightmare Before Christmas. And they could weave in some of the traditional Nightmare stuff with some of that really whacked out Nightmare
Rob
Revisited stuff.
Well, there's already enough music, and there's a lot of music.
Yeah, but it could give it. But it could help mix up the flavor of the film, because the film has kind of. Any time I say flavor, the two of you. it's unreal, but yeah, it would. It would help kind of change up the pacing.
Yeah, you could.
So, what do I, you know.
High School Musical.
On Broadway?
Why not?
I don't know.
How is that any worse than Little Mermaid?
Well,
wait a second.
Let me rephrase that. How is that any worse than, which still plays?
Lion King? But I mean, Lion it's King. Traveling.
How is that any thing? Yeah.
I eat it. King David.
Two nights.
Oh, so I have to say thank you to Dan. Moving on. I have to say thank you to Dan for the Choo Choo Train pictures through Facebook. Woohoo, thank you.
You know it's Choo Choo Train.
And thankfully, I am not alone in this belief that Choo Choo Train is great.
I received
an email from Rain Monkey.
Rain Monkey?
Yep.
And on my side, I have Rain Monkey.
What's that in a Bruce Lee movie?
I just wanted to add my input. Heimlich's Choo Choo Train is great. Always has been, always will be. It could be longer or it could be shorter, and I will always think it's great. Why? Why, you ask?
Why? Wait, what? Why?
Why?
Well, besides the wonderful smells and the humorous seatbelts, safety instructions in Spanish with a German accent. How could you get any better than that?
Yeah,
so
boy.
I am encouraged and told that I am not alone. Ha ha.
That's actually a really good reason.
To all of you.
But isn't it still being great for just being way too absurd still?
The seatbelts are a good reason to be great. Those are some funny seatbelts.
So Janice in Ontario, Canada writes, "Hey, LPP."
Yeah, you know me.
Actually, you don't know me.
Oh, A.
Yeah, you know me.
Martin Short. Hockey.
C. Since you guys are new D23 members, I have a few questions. Yes. How many people can get into the special events?
Two.
Is it
you
just
and
a member,
a guest.
Or can they bring a guest?
A guest
Let
is permitted.
Let me read the question,
I'm
and
sorry.
Then you can answer.
But then I
it's
don't
like Jeopardy.
Jeopardy rules apply.
Okay.
Is it just the member, or can they bring a guest?
What is two?
So, yes, it is for the events are typically for the card holder and a guest. Hopefully, in the future, D23 will offer family memberships, we hope. Because right now, for example, if you are a father and a mother with a 10-year-old child, it presents you with a complication.
I would not be surprised to see that in the future.
KinderCare is available, by the way.
The new pet hotel.
Janice goes on to say, if I join now and I already bought the first two magazines, which, of course, Janice has, would I be able to start the magazine subscription with the next issue, or would it start from the premiere issue?
What is yes, and you can buy the back issues on Disney Shop.
Okay, so well, you can indicate which magazine you would want to start with, or
no,
does
it just starts
just
with the next one. I mean, there might be a buff. I mean, like, if you subscribe now, you might get the second issue because the third issue's not out yet.
So but. So if I were you, I would wait until very close to when the magazine is on the stand, or once you know the next magazine is on the stand, and then sign up. So that way you can ensure that that's the issue that you receive. That's my understanding. And in USA, you receive free shipping on a D23 membership. What is shipping cost in Canada? I don't know, but I believe that's answered in various places online.
By the time you give them the credit card information, you should be able to figure it out.
Yeah, I think it's discussed on some discussion boards. If you go to Google and type in D23 Subscription International.
I know it's – I don't know. I have no idea on Canada, but I know it's not cheap outside of the U.S. because I know someone was asking us if we could pick up and ship magazines for them because they would rather join, but the shipping for the magazines is so expensive.
It's hurting, yeah. So as Janice writes, I know you guys can answer the first two. Maybe listeners can help with the others. Thanks for the podcast. I've listened to everyone and really enjoy them. Oh, thank you very much.
Thanks, Janice.
So next up is Michael. And Michael wants to say thanks for all the podcasts you provide. It makes the work commute so much easier. And his wife's side of the family is trying to figure out a good place for all of them to meet for Thanksgiving.
Knott's Berry Farm chicken dinner.
So at Walt Disney World.
Your house.
Ooh. Oh. They've been to Walt Disney World before. Okay. And at this time, it's going to be a twin niece and nephew, and there'll be five this time. Last time, there were three.
Oh, so a party of five?
So
five, Fox.
No, there'll be more than that, but that's kind of the key, is keeping the five-year-old twins happy.
Oh,
gotcha?
Keeping the five-year-old, character
okay,
reveal.
So hang on. To me, that translates to worrying about crowds. Though we live in St. Louis and don't get to visit more than once a year or so, I don't know my way around the parks well enough to get my wife and me around to our destinations without trouble. This time, though, it'll include two fairly fragile adults in their 70s, two siblings in their 30s with five-year-olds, and the two of us in our 40s. So it's a family reunion of sorts with a widely varied age range. Even though we're DVC members,
Welcome
they're
going
to be staying off property. And they were asking if we had any suggestions on how to get the most out of the week of Thanksgiving. And hopefully they're planning currently to show up the Saturday before. And they would like suggestions from us on where to eat.
Well, we're off property because there's a couple Denny's around.
I recommend Chi Chi's for Thanksgiving meal.
Where to eat?
You could go traditional, Citrus Garden.
You know, you may not want to go to Olive Garden, though, because they might be closed.
Your family, but not on Thanksgiving.
Okay. They would like suggestions from us on where to eat, with taking into account that some of the party are vegetarians, which days to go where to avoid crowds as much as possible, any must-do items, taking into account that some of the kids, you know, are now 5 years old and their last trip was 2 years ago. Another challenge is that the twins are somewhat nervous about darkness and loud noises.
Snow White Adventure, scary.
So he would like to know our input based upon this information.
Here's my single best suggestion. Meet up at the castle.
Meet in China.
And go your separate ways before that and everybody have fun. I don't know.
And if they get separated,
I think basically you need to make sure that you set expectations. You're not going to get on a lot of rides if you're going the week of Thanksgiving.
Now, how bad is it? I know, like at Disneyland, it was always leading up to Thanksgiving, up until the Wednesday before, it was not so bad.
This was
starting the Wednesday before, it was horrible right through New Year's Day. Is it pretty much the same here, or is that whole week?
Honestly, every year it depends on when the storms are. Because a lot of people drive for that weekend.
Okay.
And so if there's a nor'eastern storm, they can't get down, so it's easy. But once that's over, it can get pretty busy.
So do your rain dance.
Yeah, I mean, but you should set that expectation anytime you're traveling with elderly and young people. You know, mm-hmm. you're not going to, it's not, you don't want, it's not fun if you just go around from ride to ride to ride to ride wearing them out.
What's nice, though, is if you have some elderly people in their 70s, not that that's all that old these days, and some five-year-olds who are afraid of the dark, I mean, they have a lot of rides in common that they can really enjoy together, like Small World and Carousel of Progress and, you know, things like At American Adventure, all of Epcot.
Yeah. So, you're not trying to appeal to the thrill-seeking 17-year-old.
Right.
Yeah.
70 and 5 is a lot easier than 70 and 15.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
So, and, what's, and they can, you know, let the 5-year-olds hang with the 70-year-olds, go on some stuff they both enjoy a lot. They can have a great time while the 30-year-olds go off and do Mission Space Red.
The one thing that, let's see, there are certain attractions that if you want to enjoy, you really need to have Fast Pass for. I mean, and we say this all the time, and that is Soarin'. If you intend to go on Soarin', which it has a height requirement
of a reasonable amount, 40 inches.
You need to have Fast Pass for that. Soarin' Fast Passes can go very quickly, so if that is a hope, you know, go to that, go to Epcot in the morning and get your Fast Passes. Now, with Fast Pass, you do.
You should add Toy Story Mania to that list.
No, no,
too,
it is. Yeah. We haven't gotten
oh,
there.
Sorry.
Yet. No worries. The
well,
one,
these
the
days
one
you
thing
just,
that,
you know, get a Wii and.
The one thing that some people don't realize, though, is that your ticket, you have to run it through a turnstile. It has to be an active ticket in order for it to be able to get a Fast Pass. So you can't just send your, one person of your party into the park and get Fast Pass for all 28 of you. You know, it's not the way it works. It has to be a Fast Pass that's a ticket that's gone through a turnstile, and it's an active ticket that, you know, tickets have been used that day. I know sometimes they'll cut you some slack if maybe
right,
one person in your party hasn't been there, but especially
Soarin'.
During Thanksgiving and especially Soarin' and Toy Story Mania, these are high trafficked attractions, and both of those, their Fast Passes are typically gone in the mid morning. You know, often mid-morning.
Right. But Soarin' is, I mean, more than anything else with a group like that, that is the must-do because it can be enjoyed equally as much by a 70-year-old and a 5-year-old and mm-hmm. the people in between. I don't think there's another ride in the whole of Disney parks, in
that's
my
as
opinion,
unique.
Who hates... Yeah, that's as unique, other than maybe the Classic Haunted Mansion or something like that, but something that's a bit of a thrill ride, but that can be enjoyed from 5 to 75 equally. Mm-hmm. And it's just such an amazing attraction. So you want to get the whole family on Soarin' for a family reunion situation.
Other advice I have is decide what theme... Once you've decided what theme park you want to go to, try and make at least one priority seating for your family.
They're called reservations.
Yeah, I know. Be flexible. If you're flexible, you'll do better because trying to book a specific time or whatever can be more difficult.
The website really helps that.
Yes, it does.
Because back in the old days, you had to know where you wanted to go, and you go, and then they would say, "No, that's not available anyplace else." You just go, "Where's available?" Well, I don't know. I need to try a place. You basically have to try everywhere.
Right.
Now, like when you go on the website, if your first choice isn't available, or not, maybe it'll have that place maybe at a different time or a different location. So it really makes that process a whole
lot
easier.
And I was happy to find out that when you book on the phone as well, they also give you those same additional suggestions.
I typically find that at Magic Kingdom, the Plaza restaurant tends to be, even though it's very small, it seems to be rather accessible during the lunch time period. I think it has to do with the fact that it's on Main Street and it's not Tony's. So I think, no, but I think people think, okay, let me book Tony's because it's high profile. It's, you know, Lady and the Tramp and whatnot.
I forgot Tony's existed.
See? But for most people, that's very high profile.
Yeah.
Whereas for us, we like Plaza Restaurant. I mean, we went to the park today, and I mean, it was very crowded, the Magic Kingdom. And we were able to walk up to the Plaza Restaurant and be seated without a reservation in 15 minutes. And it was, what, like 1 o'clock?
Yeah, it's about 12, 1 o'clock.
12 o'clock. I mean, it was what would be considered a prime lunch period. And then I always recommend to large families that you do your best to book at to book a priority seating and to book a reservation if you're going to be spending a day at the studios, because I find the studios is the most difficult park to get a dining reservation at, and I find it the biggest challenge.
It's funny since they have so many choices. I mean, really, they do.
Really?
For sit-down restaurants?
Yeah, I guess they have four. They have four.
For a relatively small
They have
park.
Mama Melrose, which is Italian cuisine. They have the Primetime Cafe, which is it's Primetime Diner, huh?
Sci-Fi Diner,
which is burgers and chili and salad. Now that place is rather dark because the concept is that you're at a drive-in and they show cheesy B-movie.
I don't B-movie want splitting. To grow anymore.
And so if you have little ones who are afraid of the dark, that may not be the best option for you. And then there's also the 50s.
50s prime time.
And that's where it's kind of you're at mom's kitchen of the 50s. They show clips on TV of, like, classic black and white programming.
I imagine that's a place a group like that would particularly enjoy, the little kids with the play acting and the older people with,
yeah,
hey,
and your
I grew up here.
Your server will interact with you as if she's a member
she's
of your family.
Black and white.
Yeah, I said it had black and white programming. The server will interact with you as if your family, you know, harass you maybe if you're not eating your vegetables. So, you know, if you play along with them, they'll play along with you more. If you're not the play-along type, they'll back off. And then
Brown Derby.
Brown Derby is upscale. It's more expensive. It's a little more precocious in its environment. It's not as much fun.
No.
And, Do they let you even wear brown derbies in the
but,
bathroom?
But it, the food is very tasty.
What about
but it's
Hollywood?
Not fun.
And yeah, you forgot Hollywood
Vine.
And Dine.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about that. That's
Hollywood
the buffet.
And
Vine.
Nope, that's DCA.
That's DCA.
Like you're at a big warehouse. Yeah. Four different sections.
Hollywood and Vine is characters.
That was a
right?
great place.
Or is it only characters for breakfast?
I'm pretty
and lunch?
Sure it's characters all day.
It is characters all day. So that's play the place.
Play and
Dine. So that's the place where you would go and play with characters and eat buffet food.
If your kids are Playhouse Disney age.
Yes.
I mean, or into
like
it,
Little
I should
Einsteins.
Say. Yeah.
That's where you go to meet the Little Einsteins while you eat. So here's some of our suggestions. We'll probably toss out a few more next week. I'm sure people on the discussion boards will toss out even more. Days to go where? To avoid the crowds
EMH.
As much as possible. That's what I hear from a lot of people.
Well, they're not on property anyway.
Right. As if a park has an EMH day, you typically don't want to target that park that day because what happens is that draws more people to that park. That day. And it works well for the resort guests who come early before everybody else who comes the rest of the day, not so much.
What I hear from people I talk to is like EMH can add 5 or 6,000 people to an average attendance.
Wow.
So
yeah.
It just, and even, you
that's
know,
a lot of
so even if you're staying at a Disney resort, you know, you might go there for the first hour and leave because it's just going to be a busier day than
right.
any place else.
I have a question for the panel. Now, most of the restaurants have special menus for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Put that aside. Standard menu. What sounds like a no weight, no money concerns, no weight concerns? Where would you like to have Thanksgiving dinner, if you have an answer?
Liberty Tree Tavern?
Yeah, that was my first thought, actually.
Well, yeah, but that's because they have the traditional Thanksgiving.
Right.
And I love the traditional Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, me too. But so take that out of account. So let's say you're talking
anywhere?
Anywhere, money's no object, weight is no object, but standard menu.
Oddly enough, Boma.
Yeah,
that
that's
would
what
be
I
a good Thanksgiving
too.
Place.
Great idea.
Garden Grill, too, I think, because you mm-hmm. could you just get to eat, and it's there, and you just grab it. You know, it kind of has that family feel to it.
Now, Garden Grill is at Epcot.
It's family style.
It's in the Land Pavilion, and it's kind of the home cooking. I think of it as a home cooking restaurant.
When I think Garden Grill, I think cheese. I mean, they have like a nice cheesy.
I think cheese.
Macaroni and cheese. I remember if it's macaroni and cheese or potatoes or gratin. You mentioned vegetarian. I'm a vegetarian.
That's an all-you-can-eat place, right?
Yeah.
But they bring it to you. It's not like a buffet.
Right.
So the servers just constantly refill your family style. Oh, you know another place that I think would be neat for Thanksgiving?
What I'm about to say?
Whispering Canyon.
That's not what I'm about to say.
But Whispering Canyon.
Whispering Canyon. I can see that too.
It's a fun environment. Your server. It's a loud, raucous place. And by the way, that's another thing.
Raucous.
As far as Whispering
Rowdy.
Canyon, be prepared. If you've had a long day at the park and you kind of want to wind down with your meal, you know, kind of use it as that transition to the quiet of home or something, don't go to
there.
Whispering Canyon. If you're somebody who has a hard time with a full day at the theme park, don't go to Whispering Canyon because it is very loud, very raucous, but it is a ton of fun. It is a ton of fun.
Here's where I would go for Thanksgiving, I think.
Artist Point?
A place that means family. Ohana. I think that'd be
oh,
fun.
Oh, yeah. With its...
That's pretty nice.
With its fired meats. And
yeah, which
all
I don't care about.
Eat.
But
yeah.
It was better back
dish.
When they had their tofu skewer, but now they have a tofu dish, but they have all the potatoes au gratin you can eat and the bread pudding for dessert. Mm.
No,
yeah.
Can you still play Spear the Pineapple and
if you want
try to
hurt
kill
your
people?
And if you book it around, and if you book it around the time that, you know, if you give yourself about a half hour before
wishes.
Fireworks...
Yeah,
it's a nice place. But even if you don't get that, to see the electrical water pageant from up there while you're eating, it's
okay. So what part were you doing? For me,
somebody had that answer. So speaking of parades, it was about 15 years ago that one of my favorite parades appeared. The Lion King celebration. Is that still like the best?
There has never been a daytime parade that comes anywhere close to Lion King celebration.
Do you know that it featured the first animatronic in a parade?
Zazu?
Yeah.
And the light motion was so fluid
and non-mechanical.
No, we were watching some video earlier and they were talking about how the puppets... they're so fluid and non-mechanical, and I'm thinking Zazu looks less mechanical than those giraffes do.
They still look just. We see some of those floats all the time at Folk and
Folk
Festival of the Lion King
at the Folk,
and it still looks mechanical.
But it was so much. It was so much fun.
That was just. It was like two parades in one, because it paraded. That was great. And then it stopped and did a show stop. That was great. Unless it was code 90 or 95, you had to know where it's going to stop and where it's going. But it was just, it was perfect.
But a pre Simba's makeover or post Simba's makeover?
Pre.
Really? Yeah. You did not like the Simba change?
Okay,
what did they do?
Pre.
This was, I wasn't at Disneyland at the time. What was the change?
They changed the look of him, didn't they?
Yes.
Or was that here?
Thank you.
No. It was there.
They made him look more like before. He was just more a little generic lion, and they actually made him look more like that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I remember him getting a little more cartoonish.
Yes, exactly. He looked more cartoonish. That's my memory as well.
What a great.
Didn't they have like a little baby Simba for a little while that would blink its eyes?
Yeah, they had a puppet
that somebody
they?
Would carry around.
Yeah, I thought they did.
That Rafiki would carry around.
We've been to a lot of media events.
And there was that RC alligator.
Yeah, we knew some of those people. We've been to a lot of media events, including some red carpets, some really cool stuff. But there was one media event that I wish we could have gone to above all other. What I've heard about the opening of Lion King Celebration with the 600-person gospel choir.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, singing that stuff live to the parade.
No way.
Oh.
I never heard that. That is awesome.
Oh.
No, oh, should totally. I was
screams Jack Lindquist, doesn't it?
It was funny. The other day I was thinking I should write a friend who would have attended that event and see if they had an article to run, you know, because it's the anniversary. See if they had some footage. We should bug old TPA.
Old TPA. Over on the hill, over yonder.
Old TPA.
We should bug TPA and see if he's got footage to share.
I went to a presentation from the founder of Club Penguin, who's now like vice president of Virtual Worlds or something for Disney Interactive Media Group. And he originally used to, back in the day when he lived in Southern California, would go inside the float and release birds.
Oh, very cool. That was a great moment.
And now he's
they couldn't important. Have done that here.
Now, and then he went on to head a company about birds that can't fly. Ironic.
Don't you think?
It's ironic how misused that word is.
And if you've never seen it, obviously there's many, many places that you can, you know, catch it. There was, I'm sure that somebody's put that. There was a video that
they released one horrible video of it. I remember that electrical parade video, and it was just awesome.
Yeah.
So we said, let's do the Lion King video. Dude, it was bad.
Oh really? I don't even remember it, so it must not have been that great. But I'm sure that's all over YouTube. But also Jeff Lang, our buddy.
Has he released that? I wonder. He has two Disneyland Parade classics.
I'm pretty sure it's on the 40 Years of Adventure DVD that he
That'd
has.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's part of that. So, and Jeff is just a buddy, so we mention it. He's
bad boy. Sing a few words.
40 Years of Adventure?
Anything.
40 Years of Fun?
You're a grand old flag, you're a high flying flag, and forever in peace may she wave.
Just the kids.
Juicy.
So, next up, should we play some?
I think Jeff's got to be hearing this one while he wings his way to California. That would be great for
him. That would be awesome. And if you ever meet Jeff Lang, say Juicy. Please.
Yes, let's see what Brent has to say this week.
So Brent says, it's that time again to let the freak hit the fan.
What's the subject?
Lighting up the studios.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I feel like I've been skipping that. It's like when Dad gets mad when you skip the beginning of the psalm.
my dad, the PhD in religion and social ethics, if he asks you to read a psalm before one of his speeches, he gets irritated if you don't read also the...
A Psalm of David.
Yeah, because that's actually part of the text. Right. It's not just...
Got to read Brent's subject.
Okay, so it's that time again to let the freak hit the fan and give you some of my insight on what's going on in the wonderful world of
the
Disney.
Freak, careful.
The fan. Freak hit the fan. Wow.
Okay.
That's going to ruin dinner.
Luxo Jr. has arrived at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And from the pictures and video on the site, and by the time you read this, seeing it in person. Oh, I haven't seen it. I have to say I'm more than impressed at it, and I hope it is indeed of the sign of great things to come to Pixar Place. Hit the brakes! GM is trying to hold on to their sponsorship of Test Track, but with the shape they're in, I really almost say to them, give it up and move on.
No, I believe I am an owner right. of GM, and I request that they not waste money on Test Track.
See, I always wanted to sponsor my own Disney attraction. Does that mean we can all use the VIP lounge?
Oh, if that's the case, then I'm good with that.
On Disney's end, to change a small bit that would need to be changed to the ride and post-show wouldn't be much, and some other car company will come along after GM leaves to pick up the bill.
Because they're also healthy.
Yeah.
Breaking news. As reported last week, Drew Seeley recorded a new version of her voice from Disney Channel, from The Little Mermaid, sorry, musical. Well, no need to wait for Disney Mania 7. You can download it for free on DisneyOnBroadway.com. Just look at the banner at the bottom of the page. As for a review of the song, even though it's much more pop than the original, I like it. Catchy, and Drew delivers a great vocal performance. Also this week, Demi Lovato dropped the first single off her upcoming album, Here We Go Again. In short, it's another great rockin' song by Demi, and I'm sure that those seeing her on tour this summer will really enjoy seeing it performed live. Hopefully you will, fanboy.
If it's anything like what I saw her perform live.
Actually, yeah. You know what? She seems to be much better when she's seeing her stuff than Jonas Brothers' stuff.
Interesting.
Because she co-wrote a lot of that first stuff that she did was like co-done with the Jonas boys.
Co-done.
Okay, so...
Codeine.
Co-da.
The triple P.
Spirit.
P-cubed, actually.
P-P-P.
Paw presser.
No. Bad jokes. He says, please, no bad jokes. They really do say that in the new DCOM Princess Protection Program. But even though
34 times.
So he's gonna... But he says, I'm not going to review it until it... premieres, so he was waiting for the provincial premiere, so we'll have to wait because we didn't get that email in time. Alice in Weird Land. I just saw 5 new pictures from Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland. All I can say is now I will have very bad nightmares. Be warned if you look at them, they are freaky.
Yes, they are.
That's coming from Disfreak.
Freak hits
That's
the
what
fan.
He says. Take it from me. I'm a freak. I know.
It's weird stuff.
Next. Yeah. Meet Me at the Falls. Hit dramatic music. Sunny with a Chance fans know of the rival show to So Random. It's Mackenzie Falls. Soon at MackenzieFalls.com, you can catch mini episodes. Hey, we talked about that.
I wish 20 minutes ago.
I wish I had dramatic music to play.
More like 80.
Sorry. Well, tomorrow is the last day of Stitch's Supersonic Celebration.
Yay.
And all I have to say to those who worked so hard at such a bad show is treat yourselves to a Disney cruise this summer, and what better way to book than with MouseEarVacations.com, proud sponsor of the LPP.
Brent, this is why we love you.
They could give you some major shipboard credit for cruises this summer, so what better time to go sailing than now? Hey, and very soon, if you go sailing, this well, my little ad, Disney Channel stars will sail with you. Woohoo!
This is the first week, this upcoming week, Corbin Blue, or as they like to say at Twitter, at Corbin Blue, will be on the ship, as well as some other folks.
And it's going to feature, you're going to have autograph sessions and
I believe he's cooking,
and
right?
Q&As, and then they're going to have a Radio
Kenny
Disney rockin' performance. So each cruise has Disney Channel stars and some Disney-branded recording artist who will offer you a concert on board.
Because those are usually very different people.
Yeah, well, you know.
So does this mean, like, the normal Hey Baby people? It's like... Is Corbin Blue going to be doing, like, the trivia on the shore day?
And he says, it's time for him to go watch some Disney Resort
Thriller.
TV with Stacy on YouTube. So catch Stacy on YouTube Resort TV. And remember, everyone, you can follow Brent on Twitter, twitter.com/IVIIX.
Whoa. Brent has his own ad to follow him
you
on Twitter.
You betcha. Twitter... IVIIX. Yes, read that address on the podcast. I did. For live WDW pictures and video updates. For the crew, I shall throw out a stumper next week, so be ready for action. Yummy, 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 yummy. Dispring Brent.
He promoted his own Twitter account.
Yes, he did.
That cracks me up.
He follows me on Twitter, though.
But, so like but see, he also promoted Mouse Ear Vacation, so Papa. He's even.
Next year, Brent, we expect a nice promo for Hojo Anaheim. So.
What's going on?
That was a good one, Brent.
You know, it's a great time to be a Disney fan. I was just thinking about this the other day.
Unless you want to go to the July 17th, T23
okay,
event.
Okay, well, you know.
I got it.
I I'd like to hear why you say that, because I'm not so sure I agree.
Really?
There are many things that it's great to be a Disney fan for.
I think there's just such a variety of stuff available to you that if you're a fan of Disney, there's something that can appeal to you, whether it's...
G-Force or...
No, Jonas or Up or the new DCOM highlight album that just came out or the upcoming Princess and the Frog that you can be all psyched up about. I don't know. I just feel like... When stuff is hitting my box right now to share kind of upcoming stuff, it's exciting. You know where they might... I agree with you. Where they're letting down right now is the theme park division. I'm with you there.
Not only the theme park division, but with the exception of... I mean, I guess it depends how you define. Up and Princess and the Frog certainly aren't just kiddie movies. But, you know, Disney typically has a way of... historically has a way of appealing to the whole family, not just kids or tweens. And most of the stuff you mentioned... It tends towards the younger set.
You know what I'm excited about?
Disney Channel stuff, Jonas. Well, you didn't say Jonas, but...
Princess and the Frog?
That's what I said. That's a little different.
See, but not. Rebecca said is no matter what kind of Disney fan you are, you have an option. You don't need everything appeal to you.
No, but the theme
you're
park...
You're welcome.
The theme park stuff is what typically appeals to the
you.
Rest of the family. Me
no,
and much of the rest of the
no,
family.
And I understand
and,
that.
And that's what's lacking. Or a good live-action movie that, you know, like... I mean, not now, but something like the stuff they used to do, like the submarine thing, you know.
20,000
Leagues Under the Sea.
Thank you. Nice adventure movies like that.
National Treasure.
Yeah, like that.
Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Okay, maybe it'll come with Sorcerer's Apprentice. Yeah, but right now, you know, there's not
you
one
know,
for this summer.
But Race to Witch Mountain.
But Rider's Strike.
And then you've got Lone Ranger eventually.
Yeah, no, they've got maybe some stuff coming up long term, but this year they didn't have one. I didn't see that to know how much that was for everybody,
okay.
So that's my failing. But
okay. No,
I did not get the impression that was of the same league as a National Treasure.
Oh, I would agree with you there.
I'm excited to be a Disney fan because soon I can get Disney movie reward points from Disney Music.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I can finally save up to get my Walt Disney Classic Collection
but
clearance item.
I guess I was comparing it in thinking about kind of – I guess it's because I was reading the Disney Touch book. And I was just thinking about kind of where what it was to be a Disney fan before Michael Eisner came in.
Oh, it's better than that.
And so I was just thinking about how, you know, when the Disney Channel first came around, it was nice and everything, but if you really looked at the amount of programming that was kind of your classic Disney fare, it wasn't a whole... I mean, there was some, but it wasn't... It was just... I don't know.
Well, there's definitely more Disney now than there was in 1983.
And so, you know, I was just thinking that if you wanted to... kind of immerse yourself in the world of Disney, you have a much better opportunity to do that now than you did back when I was younger.
That is for sure.
And so I was, you know, and I was thinking because, like, for example, I know people complain about the fact that Walt Disney isn't out there, you know, but more and more of that content is becoming available on DVD. So you don't have to wait until, you know, Disney Channel shows it. And reading about, you know, what happened in 84 or whatever, I was reading, you know, and I saw that it says, you know, theatrical release, re-release of Peter Pan. And I'm like, you don't have to wait for that anymore. What, every 10 years or something I get to see Peter Pan on the big screen? You know,
there was something
now you
special
see
about that.
Okay, there was.
No, there
wasn't.
Yeah, $12.
I would like the opportunity to see Peter Pan on the big screen.
Yeah,
but
that's
the fact
true.
That I can just see it in the comfort of my own living room when I want to is really, is just an amazing thing.
It is great.
And soon it will be that I can just see it on my cell phone whenever I'm out and about and feel like it.
Ooh.
So, but no, I
is
mean.
Is that Tinkerbell? That's fine.
That's a pixel.
I don't know. So I just
dead
think.
That's a pixel, not a pixie.
and I know some people aren't fond of, but I like the new Tinkerbell movies, and I think that they do create a market. And the virtual worlds, you can be, you know, be a pirate, or be a car, or be a pixie, delve into those worlds. It's
this
cool.
is the extent to which I will agree with you. This is a phenomenal time to be a Disney kid, to be growing up Disney.
That's what I mean.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Maybe that's what I'm Maybe that's more what I'm. What
and,
it's
and that kind of
with.
Stuff appeals to you much more than
yeah,
it appeals
no,
to
true.
Me.
Yeah, no, true. That's true. Because I was just thinking about, dude, it's so easy to just lose yourself in Disney.
That's my favorite Hollywood Records recording.
How great that! None of us really can actually do a lyric for the song.
And that we jump from Disney to Eminem. And
we started
the show with M&M's.
The circle of LPP.
Oh, aye.
Captain, I believe it's your turn.
Captain, I believe this show was like 2 hours long.
Oh, no. Hour and a half.
Anyway, last week was some question. I have to look at what the question was. Oh, I remember what it, is. At California Adventure, there was a an attraction called entitled Golden Dreams. I think we're all familiar with it here, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Ma'am, you forgot your bag.
You will live to be 99. I will die tomorrow.
Do we edit?
And Whoopi Goldberg was in that. And she played the Queen of California.
Calafia.
That was the question. What was the name of the Queen of California?
Oh, whoops.
Calafia.
Sorry.
No. This is the answer. This is the answer
week.
Period.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is her name is Calafia as in California, Hista 98 says.
99?
Is there a new one?
That's where they got rid of the spotlights.
Hista 98 says.
I had a better pre-show in 98.
So, there you go.
Alrighty.
And this week's question, I'm thinking very hard.
I'm thinking
Hall of Presidents.
Hop.
Hall of Presidents.
Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity.
When it opened, who was the president of the United States at the time? So it's not like
Cart
really
Walker.
A Disney-related question. So.
Hey, don't answer.
Oh, sorry.
Not Card Walker.
So there you go. Who was president at the time Hall of Presidents opened?
That's a good question.
Did he have an animatronic at the time when it opened? That would be an interesting question too.
I think it was Martin Van Buren.
Van Buren?
Yeah, pretty sure.
It was Ronald Reagan, right? He was there, couldn't find his microphone.
Sammy Davis Jr.
John Adams.
Davy Crockett.
Benjamin Franklin was
who everybody thinks
is the president. Benjamin Franklin. He could walk upstairs though.
Well,
Joe Obama can't. He can't walk upstairs.
Well, thank you, Captain. How might the people answer the question?
They can yell really loudly from their house.
I really appreciate the proper use of the ly at the end of that. I love proper adverbial usage.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
or you could do it, you know, the other way and. Post in the laughingplace.com discussion boards.
Awesome.
Or you can even send us a voicemail, and if you have like some interesting unknown fact to that you could elaborate about in relation to this question.
7-8-9-8-6-6-7-8-9-4-0-8.
7-4-2-1.
So we saw Transformers Yeast yesterday, aka Transformers Rise of the Fallen. 50 words or less, go.
Transformers Yeast?
Yeah. Rise?
Transformer? No, it's Transformers Soufflé because they took it out too fast. It fell.
Oh, touche.
I think there's more than meets the eye. Unfortunately, it was a movie, so there was barely more place to go with it. I liked it. It wasn't great.
Are there more than meets the eye jokes or up jokes?
I don't know. You can probably come up with more up jokes.
Come up.
So. It was good, but not great.
I would agree with that. It was good, not great. Particularly, I liked it once, like say maybe the halfway point. Then it was like, yeah, Transformers, because that's when actually the robots were involved in the movie. All the other stuff was just a waste of time.
First hour was bad.
Yeah.
Second, the rest of it was okay to good. Overall, it was simply okay.
So.
But
I wouldn't rank it too high.
I think it might have a good year though. Might do pretty well. Might outdo G-Force.
It's if you're into special effects, that's Transformers. It's fun in that regard. But really, as a movie, it tries to take they need to understand. People want to see this movie because robots blowing each other up, and instead, it's some like teen college romance comedy for the first hour.
I want to see it because I'm a big Shia LaBeouf fan. I like his interaction with the robots more than just. Robot fighting, when it comes down to it, is just a bunch of CGI.
That's what I liked about a lot about the first one. It was the robot's interaction with Shia LaBeouf. But
it sounds kind of weird when I hear it.
Welcome to my world. In the first one, they timed it better. There was some action, and then there was Shia.
No, I agree. The first one was better.
And, and there was action and that. And instead, this one took a really long time to get to anything that was interesting action-wise, in my humble opinion.
I'm ho is how we would say that here.
Oh, you're ho. You're a what?
Never mind. That's not quite what I meant. Let's see. This edition of 50 Words or Less has been brought to you by MasterVacations.com and HoJoannaheim.com. And that's our show, except
wait,
for...
Wait, were you counting? Did we say princess enough times? To...
Have we ever done a 50 Words or Less that's actually 50 Words or Less?
No.
I don't believe so.
But I do think we should do a show where we pick some random word and however many times and you get some prize.
That's a great idea. What can the word be?
Phenomenon.
Water. Water. Splash.
Oh.
I don't know.
Water. Water is a bad idea. We've been down that road. We've turned the page. Podcast.com. Podcast@laughingplace.com. 866-718-9408. Post in the laughingplace.com discussion boards. Before we close this edition of the LPP, I would like to see if Eleanor, Theodore, or Tricky Dicky has any final words.
I'm a Tricky Dicky. I feel like I should be kidnapped in a monorail.
By Bob Kerr.
I went to the D23 event in Chicago for Mary Poppins. And it did not, well, it sold out eventually, but it was not hard to get into, probably because you had to pay $113.
That tends to have an effect.
But it was a lot of fun. We got the DVD of Mary Poppins, the program, merchandise discount, which wasn't really that exciting. But after the show, we went downstairs and we met, they told us we were going to meet some of the cast members. But Ashley Brown, Gavin Lee, Bert, and Mary Poppins were there. So
awesome.
Yeah, it was like the A-list, you know, of some other folks, including two kids, Jane and Michael Eisner. And... And so it was really a neat experience for not, you know, a price that's wasn't unreasonable to see the show. So I had a lot of fun and look forward to going to my next D23 event in July.
Anybody else? Captain?
Well, is it wrong that I can't get Captain EO music out of my head?
Yeah, actually.
Because it's Thriller.
That's not Captain EO music.
Billy Jean.
It's just another part of me.
Yes.
Hey. We are here to say heal the world.
Yep, it's just stuck in my head.
Have you ever seen Captain EO?
Unfortunately.
But oddly enough, not actually the part with lyrics, just the part right before the do part is in my head all the time. It's like really annoying.
You find me pretty.
It would make a good ringtone, though.
Beautiful.
Dude.
Beautiful.
Well, nobody's wanting to go.
Because isn't he supposed to, like, is told by a Supreme Commander to give the Queen the gift? Like, that's like the whole...
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know how to say Queen in Swahili, but apparently Michael Jackson is the gift in Swahili for It's My Lucky Day.
I totally lost.
I totally screwed that whole thing up.
I know where you were trying to go, and I still lost you.
Totally. Totally.
Timon talks.
I have no idea what's going on.
I totally lost that.
Folks is folks.
I'm so lost.
So, yeah. They should bring that back.
No, they should.
Maybe like a one-day
tribute. Yeah, like a D23 event.
Just bring back Fantasy Waters for a day.
D23 event, I say.
They'll show that at the expo.
Can I say that? Can we do that anymore? Or is that in bad taste or something?
I'm pretty sure we have to pay royalties now. It's not in bad taste. Michael Jackson will live on forever.
As hee-hee.
In our hearts. And in our minds. Rebecca. Not only see, Your Highness, but hear.
That's not your ear, you moron. That's your head.
Gotta have a disguise.
See you later, trash can. Hooter was awesome.
Oh, I loved his wings. Okay, Doobie just hit himself in the head trying to do the gifty kid ear thing.
Oh, sorry, Rebecca, did you have something to save us from this stupidity?
Yes, and it's serious. That's why I'm trying to have a hard time.
Okay, serious mode on.
No, you guys, come on. Okay. So what I've got to share is from Rusi, and we actually were able to be in touch with her recently, and she said that she, you know, she's doing okay. She's taking it day by day. And one of the things that she turns to, you know, help her getting through the day is every day she visits LP and watches the video that was posted of her and Wayne performing the When You Wish Upon a Star at the NFFC convention. And I just thought it was really beautiful. The fact that a lot of us fans, that was one of the first things we thought about when we'd heard of Wayne's passing, was that moment where the two of them sang together, and just what a beautiful partnership they had. And so to know that moment is also something that, you know, helps bring some comfort to Rusi was really special to know. And, you know, she wanted me to let everybody know that, you know, she's doing okay. And also wanted to bring up, you know, because another, you know, heavier topic is it is the anniversary of the first cast member death out there at Disneyland. I think July 8th, actually, is when the America Sings, the transition from the Carousel of Progress to America Sings, a week after the new attraction opened. Unfortunately, a cast member died there. And David Koenig, a few years back, I think it was for the back for the 30th anniversary of the event, David Koenig over at Mouse Planet wrote a lengthy tribute to Deborah Stone, who was killed operating America Sings. And he described it as one of the – he wrote Mouse Tales, and so he kind of wrote about some of the negative things that happened, or, you know, behind the scenes, and not always just the really pretty things about Disneyland and, sure, and behind the scenes stuff. And he says that this particular incident is one that many people have spoken to him about, and it particularly connected with people and whatnot. So, you know, if you aren't familiar with Deborah Stone and with the story from 1974, you know, I suggest you look it up. Go to Google, type in Deborah Stone. It's on Snopes. It's in a few places. You can find a little bit about Deborah, about the incident, and you know, just it's kind of a sad moment in Disneyland history. But, you know, I think it's appropriate. It's sure. It's the 35th. No, 25th. I can't do math.
Well, America Sings opened in
74, 84, 94, so, yeah. 35th. Thank you. So yeah, but I don't want that to be the only thing I say. I want to say something happy.
Happy Modon.
Oh, you guys are so over the top. We are, Juby and I are helping out some of the West Coast Disneyland LPers plan an event, and we're hoping the weekend of December 5th. It'll probably be December 6th. Originally, we were thinking it would be December 5th, but looks like it's going to be December 6th. We're going to try and have a little get together out there, have some, you know, a little luncheon type event. During the Candlelight Weekend. So, you know, if you're out that way the first weekend of December, check laughingplace.com and you just, you know, may be able to stop by and join the little party we're going to have. Because Laughing Place turns 10 years old this year, and we can't believe it actually is still here, and we're happy it's still here. And
what's today? July 1st.
Yeah.
Oh, I know a great idea for the theme. Laughingplace.com, 5 years of excellence.
Thank you. That's very generous. Yes.
I remember, wow, we've known you a long time. For our 5th anniversary, he got us a Donald Duck pin.
Yes, he did.
That was very cool. Podcastlabplace.com, 866-718-9408. I have nothing intelligent or otherwise to say to close this show, so we will just leave it at that until next week.
Happy 4th of July.
Oh, that's a good.
Yeah, hello. Yeah,
not very clever, but it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Fireworks.
Oh, thank you. Oh.
So what?
You enjoying the fireworks?
No, your chair is off
my
foot.
So if you're a Disney fan, what should you do?
On the 4th of July?
We can close for that, yeah. Go around the table. Disney, 4th of July, what would you do? Not, you can't go to a theme park.
Oh. Someone else go.
Wait. Disney, 4th of July, what would...
Yeah.
What I always do,
but you're not, but
go
you're
to the Polynesian and watch fireworks.
Okay, but you're not, but you don't live in the theme park area. You're a Disney fan, you don't live in the theme park area. You want to infuse some Disney into your 4th of July celebrations. What do you do?
Yeah, that is tough.
Wow, I didn't think it'd be that hard.
Well, watch America Sings on YouTube.
Okay, well, there's one.
Okay,
watch America
what would
Sings
you do?
On YouTube. I would watch Ben and Me and Johnny Tremaine.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, the first one was a good one.
Yes, I know. I'm a fan of those patriotic films.
I would watch the version of the Muppet Vision recorded with one glass over the camcorder on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the
salute
to all
countries, but mostly America.
Why don't you could just go around all day telling people that. Hey, happy 4th of July. It's a salute to all countries, but mostly America.
I think I'll do that.
Okay.
Today, or should I wait till Saturday?
Yeah, wait till July 4th.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would listen to my...
Do it for Flag Day, too.
My bootlegged American Adventure Source Audio MP3.
Oh, now you're talking.
There you go.
Now you're talking.
There you go.
Been nice knowing you. Have fun in Persian.
All right, I think that's the show. We already signed off. So
yeah, goodbye.
For those of you who turn off as soon as you hear, and until next week, ha ha.